While the ushers are coming forward, let me introduce you these next two short videos. I believe it was last week I said, how many of you feel like you're under 40? And almost everybody raised their hand, and then we recognized those who were under 40. Well, now, today I'm going to say, how many of you are over 50? Just plain old, if you know your number, you're over 50. Okay. Only you will recognize these videos. All right? So I just want everybody to be happy here. I didn't mean to leave you out. So if you're under 50, and certainly under 40, you may not recognize these videos. I have to explain them, though, while these gentlemen are standing here real quick. There was a time, young people, where our phones were connected to the wall. You may not understand that, but there was. And if you had a girlfriend, you had a really long cord because you had to get it all the way into some privacy. And there was a time, a little bit before that actually, before those cords disappeared, where there was this thing called long distance calling. And it wasn't built into your plan. It was extra. And because it was extra, a lot of people didn't want to do it. And so in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, there was some commercials that was trying to convince us of the value of calling long distance. That's what these two are. Father, as we take up our offering, we thank you for being with us through the years. And thank you that these offerings help us to stay here longer, years to come, blessing the work of that you have blessed. And we thank you for the generosity of your people. May we hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Aren't you glad your brother finally went away to school?
Yeah.
He got his room, his bike, and everything. What a deal.
Yeah.
And just think, nobody will call you Peeper anymore.
Yeah.
David, your brother's on the phone. He wants to talk to you.
Right. Me? Oh, boy.
Kid.
When a faraway voice sounds as close as you feel, that's reach out and touch someone. That's AT&T.
Joey called this morning.
So how's Joey? What's wrong?
Nothing.
Nothing? How'd you recall 2,000 miles? The kids all right?
Fine.
Sally?
Fine.
The kids are fine. Sally's fine. So why'd he call?
I asked you that too.
And why are you crying?
Because Joey said I called. Just because I love you, Mom.
Reach out and touch someone.
Did that bring back memories?
Yes.
I don't know if that made you feel good or not. Every one of your grandkids have cell phones and they never call you. Maybe they do. Hopefully they do. If they don't, tell them to. Tell them today's sermon was call your grandparents today. And then tell them about this thing called reach out and touch someone. Well, you kind of know where we're going. But before we get there, let me tell you where we've been. So this is our fourth week in a series called Come to Your Senses, right? For review. We're using the phrase from the prodigal son's experience. Let me just tell you a little bit about this. This is how serious it was. Think about this. Some of you have prepared an inheritance, and you hope that when you die, you can pass some things on to your children. Can you imagine a son or daughter coming to you and say, I could care less about you. I only want your inheritance. That's what this guy did. And so the father said, okay, if that's the way you want it, you get your inheritance now. Well, by the way, like a lot of people who get inheritances, they don't know what to do with them. They've inherited money, but they haven't inherited wisdom. And he went out and he blew it all. And he found himself in a distant country in a pig pen, hoping that he could have some food. But here's what it says. And then he came to his senses. It's found in Luke chapter 15. And he came to his senses. And then it says that he returned to the father. He got up And in verse 20, it says, he got up and he went to his father. How do we go to the Father today? Well, we can use our senses. It's kind of cool. And so 3 weeks ago, I shared with you that we can taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's kind of a metaphor, right? We don't really, unless it's communion, right? And but in a metaphorical sense, we can sense, use our sense and taste. And we told you all about how the rabbis of Jesus' day, and even some today, will take the honey and they will put it on the word of God. And they use that scripture, that the scripture is like honey, and it's the sweetest thing we'll ever taste. And we can sometimes sense God's goodness, and then we can know he's good even when we don't sense it. We talked about that. And then Patrick talked about looking, and there's many things, many directions you can go with these sermons. We can look out at nature, right, and see God. There's a lot of things we can do. We can look up into the stars. We can look into a microscope and see the integral work that God created. But Patrick talked about looking at the beginnings of our country and seeing that we believe this country was based, so it's not that we believe it, it was, that this country was based on biblical principles, the love of God, respect for the holy, and a desire that the country would be a place where the light would shine, a light on a hill. And but as our country gets further and further away from those principles, we need to look and make sure we as individuals and as Christians and as churches and as families don't abandon those things. And we can look and see that God's word is true, that if we follow those, he will bless us. And then last week I talked to you about listening to God, and it just really boils down to setting aside some time, turning off all the other noise, and just say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I guarantee you, if you do that, you will hear. I've had that experience. You've had that experience. I don't know why we don't do it more, but we need to. Because the God of the universe says, you seek me, and I will be found. He doesn't play hide and seek. He wants to be found, right? He's like that little kid doesn't understand the rules, and they hide out in the open and even say, I'm over here, right? And God does that, but you won't hear that. You won't hear that invitation until you quiet your heart and you listen for that invitation. So we hope that by focusing on your senses, by using your senses to focus and experience God, you will grow in your relationship during this time in your life. Now, today, I want to talk about touch. Lots of different ways that we can go with this sermon, but we could talk about Jesus touching us. I did a little research. Those of you in that same category that I referred to earlier would understand the Gaither song, shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Now we understand, right? That's a spiritual, again, metaphorical, symbolic touch. But what a touch, what a real touch it was. There was another hymn that was written back in the 50s, and I don't know if you knew it. Lots of verses have been added to it over the years, but it was really just written as a chorus. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. The best way to experience God is to love your neighbor. Think about it, right? God is spirit and we are flesh. Now we have a spirit and we can commune with God, and these songs that we just sang kind of had that connotation that we can reach out and touch the Lord and he has touched us. But that's kind of a spiritual change. But in this flesh that we are in, and in this world that we're in, if you want to really experience God, you can do that in the quietness of your house, and you probably should. But one of the most important ways to experience God is to love your neighbor. And so, I want to talk this morning about how do we reach out and touch someone, like the videos we watch. Well, that's one way. Your phone plan includes long distance. So it can be a person around the corner or a person around the world, and you can call them. You can assist with projects like Dale did and helping us out and helping a neighbor. You can pray with a friend. You can give to a food pantry. You can help with a homeless shelter. You can take your pastor to lunch. I'm just trying to give ideas here. You can send a card. You can share your testimony. You can carry a burden. You can sit at a nursing home. So many ways that you can reach out and actually touch someone. And this is the symbolic use of touch that involves affecting someone and moving them emotionally because you were moved emotionally. Jesus was touched, the Bible says. He felt compassion for many people he met. When he fed the 4,000, it says he had compassion on them. And that means he was touched by their experience. This is the way we use this word now. And so when Jesus saw a widow that had lost her son, it says his heart went out to her. That's a touch. It's an emotional connection. And then in turn, he said, how can I now touch them? How can I help them? And so the best way to love others is the same as Jesus did. When you are touched, and hopefully you are moved by compassion, we look for ways then that we can touch others. But I want us to think a little bit more narrowly today, and this is probably something that you've never thought about, at least in a perspective of a sermon, and not just in a metaphorical way, but in a literal way. Because Jesus used physical touch to heal people. He didn't have to. You know that? He didn't even have to use words. But he chose to touch them. And I wonder if he did this to show his compassion and love for them. Because we know from scientific experiments that the human touch is powerful. A hug, a handshake, a hand on someone's arm, a display of compassion and care. And it was interesting that during the last year and a half, one of the things that crept into our conversation was how much we miss touch. We may have never thought about it before, and we may have taken it for granted, but there is something powerful in touch. This is not a trick question, and so I'll give you the answer. But the question is, what is the largest organ in the Bible? Or on the body? On the body. What is the largest organ? It's the skin. Our skin. It covers, depending on your size, 21 to 22 square feet. 23 in some people. It weighs anywhere from 8 to 10 pounds. It contains more than 11 miles of blood vessels. It holds your body together. But it's solid enough to keep things in, but soft enough to allow them to move. It protects you from various bacteria and viruses. In hot weather, it can release as much as 3 gallons of sweat a day and 50,000 cells of dead skin a minute. It protects your body from environmental stressors like germs and pollution and radiation from the sun. It regulates your body temperature. It stores water and fat and vitamin D and a whole bunch of other things. But here is one of the things that your skin was built to do. It helps you feel the world around you. And that's the sense of touch. Not just the finger touching someone else, but the idea that your skin can have these impulses. There are at least 3 different major types of receptors. Now, you can do scientific people, go read about this and get the big words. All right, but I have to make it simple. Your skin, for instance, knows the difference between hot and cold and everywhere in between. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. It knows the difference between pain and pleasure. You can even do this right now if you want. Yeah, pinch somebody next to you. No. And then rub it. Doesn't that feel better? That's a crazy amazing. And then, of course, it's chemical responses that your skin can process. And some of us that are over 50, Aspirin cream. Isn't that wonderful? Like, whew, you know, it's like, wow, how'd that work? I don't know, but I like it, you know. Vitamin D and vitamin E and all these things that your skin can do. In people who are blind, the brain becomes rewired, so all those things that I just mentioned are even heightened. And they can literally, they would say, see the world through touch. This is a miraculous system of God and provides an opportunity for ministry. It's a creation by God. When we shake hands, when we put an arm around a friend's shoulder, when we give a hug, when we embrace a family member or a friend, it causes the brain to release oxytocin. This is a bonding hormone. It makes you feel better. It stimulates other hormones like dopamine and serotonin, while at the same time reducing the stress hormone of cortisol and others. You've got to read about it. It's crazy. Just the idea of having a pleasant touch chemically can change the way you feel about the world. When babies and children are deprived of touch, their brain development is permanently impaired. Back in the 13th century, before we knew a lot, and yet we should have known better, a very cruel German emperor by the name of Frederick II wondered what language children would speak if they were never spoken to. And so he took a select group of kids out of the orphanage and instructed the nurses to feed them, but not to talk to them, not to touch them. And they all died. Touch is a very, very powerful thing. Dr. Fritz Talbot in the 40s established a more scientific and a little bit more compassionate test and result that there's a conclusive connection between touch and an infant's ability to thrive. But it's not just for babies. It's for teenagers and adults. Physical touch is very significant. Whether it's holding hands, right? Embracing, back rubs, an arm around the shoulder, a pat on the back. All of these can be expressions of love. A few years ago, several years ago now, Dr. Gary Chapman, a Christian writer, came up with a very helpful tool. He called it the five love languages. And especially helpful among relationships and married couples to find out what your love language is that you like to receive. Like, this is how you interpret love the best. By the way, this is not a lesson on that, but normally the way you like to get it is the way you like to give it. But the problem is, the person you're giving it to, that may not be their favorite way. So you got to be open to that. But here they are. Words of affirmation. We all like to get positive words. Try it sometime. You will just increase the positive vibes, I don't know. The positivity in your home will go up if you just start complimenting each other. Whether it's your love language or not, everybody needs it. Quality time. Some people just say, just spend time with me, right? And that helps to communicate love. Others, it's acts of service. If I do something nice for you, I'm trying to express my love. And then it may or may not work the opposite way. Depends on their primary love language. Receiving gifts. You know, it's nice to get gifts, but some people really like them, and it sends a great message. But the fifth one that Gary Chapman pointed out was physical touch. Physical touch is one of the five primary love languages that a lot of people respond to very, very well. But all of us, even if it's not our primary, it's beneficial. Unless, and I'm going to spend just a little bit of time here, but unless you've been wounded or abused by physical touch, and I'll come back to that, there is a lot of benefit to the communication of trust, of touch. You've been there, but maybe it's easier to relate on the news. But whether it's a mass shooting or a tornado, or like down in Florida where that apartment complex collapsed, when the camera pans the crowd, you see people hugging. Because it's a natural response. It's not something we created. It's a natural response to show love to one another in a physical way. It's instinctive. We can't change events often. But as Christian people, we can help people survive if they feel loved. A physical touch is a universal way of expressing care and comfort. And in times of crisis, one of the things that we'd want you to know is you don't have to have words. There's a thing called the ministry of presence. And as individuals who carry around the stamp of the Holy Spirit, when you walk into a room, a hospital room, a funeral, a visitation, a nursing home, or in a home where someone is struggling, you're carrying with you the Holy Spirit. And when you transfer that just by a pat on the hand, just try it. Go to a nursing home sometime, and when someone's bedridden, just reach out and touch the hand. And there will be a little miracle that will happen. That you will express love without even saying a word. Maybe it's a hug, as I said. Maybe it's to sit with someone and hold their hand. Just a pat on the back. One of those little half hugs is okay. It sends a message. It's an expression of care that will be remembered and appreciated far more than any words. I recognize that there are some of us who have maybe been harmed in the past by abusive touch. It's unfortunate. We're sorry that it happened. It was never okay. God created physical touch to be a loving way to communicate to another person. And so we have to be careful in this ministry of touch. And my wife and I were reminded of this in a very gentle way when we were at our retreat a couple weeks ago. And there were just five or six of us, and we took turns, you know, sitting what I call the hot seat. You know, you guys, it's your turn. We're going to pray over you. And everybody gather around and place your hands on the shoulder. And there's nothing really harsh about that. But one of the gentlemen every time said, "Are you okay with that?" That was a great question. Because sometimes people aren't at that point where they're okay with it. And so we want to be careful, and we want to do this with permission. But positively, a touch can communicate the emotion of love. Listen to this. The same touch, depending on what you're trying to communicate, you don't have to say anything. The same touch can communicate value. Do you know how many people need to just feel that they're worthy? Just a touch. A touch can communicate acceptance. You got someone new to your family, like in my case, a son-in-law. Just a handshake, a hug, a pat on the back. You're one of us. You don't have to say anything. It can communicate security and assurance. I bet you could do this. It can even communicate an apology. Compassion. Sorrow. Respect. Thank you. Seems a little odd for a sermon. But God speaks the love language of touch. Now, we said that earlier. It's like it's a spiritual kind of connection. But the Gospels show Jesus ministering. We'll call it the ministry of touch. There are multiple cases where Jesus reached out and embraced people, right? A word could have been enough, a nod, you know, but he didn't. It was a touch. We talk often, and we did this a couple weeks ago, where the children, all up in his lap, right? Why? There was a purpose for that. They needed it. He had it, and he wasn't going to hold back. The disciples said, "Get away." And he said, "No, let them come." And then it says he blessed them. This wasn't just, "Hey, you're a good kid." No, he put his hand on them, I think. Touched their head, and their shoulders, their hands, and gave them a blessing. And Jesus made some mud, put it on the man's eyes. Remember that time? He could have said, "Just go." Nope. Don't try that one. You might not get the same response unless you're pretty sure it's going to happen that way. And then we'll start something new here at the church, right? When Peter's mother-in-law was sick with fever, Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her. The Church of Jesus Christ has been touching and serving and healing and helping ever since. Study after study shows that physical touch, the positive healing touch, lowers blood pressure, decreases pain, speeds up the healing process. They've tried this. Even non-Christian hospitals try this. People who are exposed to touch in hospitals are released more quickly. I want you to see in Mark chapter 1 this put into action. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, a man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, it says in our scripture here in the NIV, was indignant. Now, indignant is this kind of definition that says he was upset at the condition and the way that these people are being treated. That's indignant. But in other verses, says he had pity on them. But you can see where they kind of go hand in hand. And he reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," Jesus said, "be clean." Now, you have to realize this was a no-touch situation. This man was infected and affected by leprosy. Now, leprosy came in all different kinds of things, right? It could be just a simple skin disease that we might have a name for today, or it could be a terrible skin disease. Anywhere from, you know, flaky skin to rotting skin. Skin disease that just... They would lose pain, or they would lose the sensation of pain. They would step on stuff and it would get infected and their feet would fall off. Their faces were disfigured. All sorts of things could happen. Growths developed on their vocal cords. Their voices became raspy. Those lumps and bumps on their body would be filled with pus. All sorts of diseases that would affect their nervous system and compromise the way they could walk. And in the law of Jesus' day, there was very little space for nuance. It was either clean or unclean. All right? And that's how you knew and practiced holy living, right? You didn't touch anything unclean. In addition to this, these people had to make it known that they were unclean. If the smell wasn't enough, if the skin disease wasn't enough, they had to go around yelling, "Unclean! Unclean! Live outside the town." It was a terrible way to live. You could hide a lot of sins, but you couldn't hide leprosy. And Jesus ignored this social thing. And the song that we sang earlier comes to this point. "He touched me, and now I am no longer the same." You see, Jesus healed the man, but it wasn't so much the absence of leprosy that was the thing here. It was that he actually touched him. You see, Jesus wouldn't have had to do that. In Luke chapter 10, there were 10 lepers. Remember that one? 10 lepers came to Jesus, you know, and Jesus says, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And they were all healed without being touched. So why this? Because there's something special this man needed. And Jesus was indignant, moved with pity, because he could see that this man needed more than just healing. He needed to be touched. He needed to be loved. We are called to do the same thing. Where can you do this? Rescue missions, homeless shelters, drug and alcohol centers, hospitals, hospice, home, school, friends, ordinary people like you and I can change the life of others with a simple touch. Isn't it interesting that in the book of John it says, "And he became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Profound. That's profound. Here's what the disciples said in 1 John 1:1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched." What? You mean Jesus touched the disciples and the disciples got to do that too? Yeah. "This we proclaim concerning the word of life." And today, now, we are his hands. to love as he loved. Certainly in symbolic ways, right? Cards and calls and thoughts and prayers. But even in physical ways. Would you stand with me this morning? All of us, Lord, would benefit from a loving touch. What's kind of cool is even when we long for it, we can be the beneficiaries as we do it. When we visit a nursing home, a grandparent, our children and grandkids, our spouse. Children who we come in contact with who don't have loving parents, who have only been frightened by a closed fist or an open hand. What a message of love in Jesus' name that we can send. And if we want to sense you, the best way to do it is to love our neighbor. May we find ways to come to our senses and to experience you like we never have before, in all ways that you have ordained, to share your love with us so that we can share your love with others. Through Jesus' name, amen.